Well, thank you very much, and good afternoon to everyone. Well, today is day three of Unleavened Bread. To begin with, I thought we'd start by reading something that can be found in Mark 8 and verse 15. Mark 8, verse 15, we see Jesus Christ is speaking to the disciples, those that had God's Holy Spirit working with them, those that he was training, those that had a lot of understanding already. And in verse 15, he says, "And he charged them, saying, Take heed, watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod." It's very interesting. Jesus Christ was a very, very gracious person. He ate with sinners and publicans. He would talk to women and children, Samaritans, prostitutes. It didn't matter. In fact, I think you can go through the Bible and you almost don't find a single bad word that he says about an individual. And yet, he isolated Herod and he said, "Watch out for this man. You do not want to be like him. You do not want to think like him. The leaven that is in him, you beware of, lest it come and infect you." So that's what I'd like to talk about today. Beware of the leaven of Herod. So to set the stage and to save time, I'd like to just cover some of the basics about Herod. Years ago, Herod the Great was married, and he had a son named Herod Antipas. And then he was married to another woman and had another son. That was Herod Philip. Then he was yet married to another woman, had another son whom he later killed, but that son had a daughter named Herodias. Now, Herodias went and married her half-brother, Philip, Herod Philip, and they had a daughter named Salome. Now, Herod Philip lived in Rome, and now Herod that lived in Jerusalem, the Herod that we're told to watch out for this leaven, well, he's having some marriage problems, and rather than work on them, he gets rid of that wife, goes up to visit his brother in Rome and entices his brother's wife, Herodias, to come back with him. So she comes back with her daughter, Salome. They come back to Jerusalem, and they're there, and Herod Antipas, well, you know, he hears about John the Baptist, and he loves hearing John the Baptist speak. Really gets into it. And everything's going great, and he loves to just listen to this man speak, and this is marvelous. And really enjoying himself until one day, John the Baptist, being the straight shooter that he was, knowing that Herod had the power of life and death over him, he said, "You know what, Herod? You having your brother's wife is completely wrong and unlawful." Well, this didn't go over well. And Herodias was furious at this, and she wanted John the Baptist killed. So Herod said, "Hey, I know what I'll do. I still want to hear him talk. It's great having him around, like hearing these good messages. I'll put him in prison. That'll save him from being killed, because then my wife can't kill him." So that's what he does. And then, of course, with the passing of time, his wife, Herodias, sends in his stepdaughter to do this dance on his birthday. It's a dance that normally was done by a professional prostitute. So, you know, we see a very sick thing going on here. But she goes in and dances in such a way that Herod and all his cronies, oh, they're mesmerized by this. This is just fantastic. You can have anything you want, up to half the kingdom. This is amazing. Well, the little girl goes back to her mom and says, "What do you want?" She goes, "Well, I could have half the kingdom, but really what I want is John the Baptist's head on the platter." Of course, Herod then says, oh, he was really sad about that. He really liked John, you know. He had a lot of good qualities. She really liked John, but after all, I gave my word, John, sorry. You know, it's nothing personal, but I gave a vow, and I don't want to be embarrassed in front of my friends either, so off with his head. This is a man that also had a hand in putting Jesus Christ to death. So that sets the stage, a little bit of the history of who this man was, and some of the things that are contained mostly in Mark 6, you can find that, but we don't have the time to read every scripture. But I'd like to then point out one aspect of the leaven of Herod, and that was, I would, today's phraseology, I'd say Herod liked to play church. What do I mean by this? If you'll turn to Mark 6 and verse 20, read a scripture there. It says, "For Herod feared John, knowing," no doubt about this, "but he knew that John was a just man and holy, and he observed him, and when he heard him, he did many things and he heard him gladly. You know, he loved to go and hear John give these sermons and this talk, and it made him feel good. He really liked it. He knew that John was from God. He gladly heard him. He even helped John. See, because when Herodias wanted to kill him, he protected his life and put him in prison. You know, did this minister a favor. So, you know, yet for all of this, Herod still killed John, had him killed, knowing that he was innocent, knowing that he was a man of God. And I think about that very aspect, that nature, just to hear all this stuff and yet still just go on with his own ways. Today, it's easy for us to play church. You know, it's not enough for us to dress up real nice, come to church, maybe talk about the sermon. Oh, didn't so-and-so give a good one? Yeah, I'd never heard that point before. What about prophecy? You know, I see how these things are working together. None of that really matters if what's inside of us isn't changing. See, Herod had the ability to just listen to sermon after sermon and not really change much. In Luke 23, we find that even when talking about Jesus Christ, that Herod hasn't changed much. Because in Luke 23, verse 8 and 9, "And when Herod saw Jesus, and was he was exceedingly glad, for he was desirous to see him for a long time, because he had heard many things about him, and he hoped to see some miracles done. And when he questioned him with many words, Jesus Christ answered him not back a word." So here we see that Herod, oh, this is great. Yeah, I want to hear about you, Christ. I've been waiting a long time to talk to you. And he asked him many, many questions. But it's interesting that Jesus Christ didn't even answer him a word, didn't even respond to him. Well, why wouldn't Christ respond to him? Why did he just completely ignore him? I think we'll find the answer back in Matthew 7, 6, where it says, "Give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast your pearl before swine, lest they trample them underfoot and turn again and rend you." I think how accurately descriptive this verse is. See, Christ knew that Herod was not sincere about changing or repenting. Really, he wasn't very teachable at all. Herod ignored or trampled underfoot all the teaching and instruction that John the Baptist had given him, and he turned around and beheaded him, or turned on him and rend him, just as Matthew 7 says. See, God calls Herod a fox in Luke 13. You can find that. And we know one thing about God. He labels things exactly what they are. Exactly what they are. And he said, you know, that man's just a fox. I was talking to Earl Rands a few days ago, and he was telling me that in his younger days, he captured some foxes. I believe he said he had four of them. They were little pups, and they were, I think, red foxes. And he said, those animals were so cunning and so ridiculous. He said, no matter how kind he would be, how much time he'd spend petting them and gentle with them, feed them, no amount of kindness and working with them could ever domesticate them. We might say, could never change their nature. And he said, you know, you would sit there and you pet them and be real nice, and they would act real nice. You turn your head and they'd sink their fangs right into your arm. Their nature never changed, no matter what he did with them. Finally, he had to lost some of them and sent the other ones away to zoos. I thought that was very interesting. God called him a fox. He cannot, you know, because he just doesn't change. Turn your head for a second, and wham, that old nature will come out. You know, if you look at a flour tortilla, you can't tell that it's leavened by looking at it. On the outside, you'd say, hey, that's unleavened. No, you actually have to go inside it to see that the leaven is there. And you know what else? You can't see it with the naked eye. No, the human eye won't see that it's leaven, but nonetheless, leaven is there. Now, Herod was this type of guy. He could listen to sermon after sermon and never think it applied to him. Yet he'd feel good about being with religious stuff. Those that play church are kind of like that tortilla as well. We can look real good on the outside, but if we're not truly changing inside, well, what are we? We're nowhere. The leaven of Herod grows best in a lukewarm environment, just like regular yeast does. Leaven left at room temperature just flourishes. And, you know, it's interesting that God really comes down hard on the Laodicean church because they're lukewarm. They got some hot and some cold. And he really comes down hard on them because of that lukewarm attitude. It allows leaven just to run rampant. You know, it's interesting that when Herod was confronted with his sin, when John said, you know what? What you're doing with your brother's wife is wrong. He didn't repent. He didn't say, oh, I'm so wrong, and make things right. His solution was to take John and put him in prison. I wonder, when we're confronted with sin, what is our response? You know, whether it be the pastor, it could be our mates. You know, we can be confronted from any number of sources. Do we, in a sense, put them in a prison? Do we withdraw from that person? Do we build up walls around them? Or do we repent and change? Now, we only had time to look at one aspect of the leaven of Herod. The truth is, these scriptures are loaded with analogies and very, very important concepts. Some of the aspects of leaven that we won't be able to cover that are clearly there in Herod's life was that he uses God or the Bible to justify ungodly behavior. When he used, well, I made a vow, and that's why I got to behead you, John. You know, it's really not my fault. He was more afraid of what others thought of him than what God thought of him. Piling sin upon sin, he just never knew when to stand up and say, you know what, I'm responsible. Instead, you know, he dumped one wife, married another one, then had the daughter dance, you know, just sin upon sin upon sin. Never would stand up and just say, it's my fault, this thing needs to stop here. His self-interest was above all. You know, God in Ezekiel, I think 37 or something like that, calls the prophets there, he calls them foxes, when all they were out for was for their own gain. Well, Herod was the same way. He was just out for whatever he could get. He was completely unreliable and untrustworthy. There's many things that you could look at. So to kind of wrap up here today, I'd like to just point out that we need to pray and ask God to show us our hidden faults, our secret sins, just like David did. And it's interesting that in the temple, there were hidden chambers, and things could be stored back in those chambers, but they were far enough back that you couldn't just stand and look. You actually had to take a lamp and put it in to see what was in there. And we're no different. We need to take the lamp of God's Word, His Holy Spirit, and shine it at the motives and the hidden motives, the hidden agendas, the ways of thinking in our minds. And when we do that, it's not a negative thing, it's a good thing. You can look in there, and if it's a good motive, great. If it's a bad one, we need to get rid of it. That's what the days of unleavened bread are all about, removing the bad. And the second thing I would say, that as we're busy trying to remove the leaven and find it, that we, at the same time, find a corresponding aspect of God's Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, to replace it with. I think if we do that, we'll find that we can eliminate and we can take to heart God's warning to beware of the leaven of Herod, to not play church, but to truly be willing and ready to change and to be a different person from the inside out. And when we replace it with God's Spirit, then those changes are going to become permanent. So beware of the leaven of Herod.